Yesterday, China declared to the world that it is ready to fight after completing 3 days of combat exercises around Taiwan. And the United States responded in kind by sending one of our carriers directly into the waters where China was located to see what they would do. It was a very much a hold my beer type of moment for the United States, but it's escalating the tensions. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I'm your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. As always, check out www.americaoutloud.com, where you can find content from all of my colleagues, articles, other podcasts, as well as the America Out Loud Talk Radio, where you can download that on your favorite app store device, whether that's Android or the Apple Store. That can bring all those broadcasts directly to you throughout the day, 24/7, as well as the website will keep you informed. Let's get straight into it. Yesterday, I had a very long show, and I said that I would keep the rest of the shows this week shorter, which is my intent. Yesterday, China's military said it was ready to fight. They had completed a combat readiness patrol called Joint Sword. Now, Joint Sword, they surrounded Taiwan, and they really kind of escalated things over the course of 3 days. They said that their troops are ready to fight at all times, can fight at any time to resolutely smash any form of Taiwan independence and foreign interference attempts. Now, we are very much aligned, we being the United States, with Taiwan. So when they say ready to fight against the foreign interference attempts, China is specifically saying that is the Americans. They've did these exercises about 7-8 months ago, back in August, and they ended up launching missile strikes on targets around Taiwan, but in the seas. And they did this when Nancy Pelosi was visiting. And that was something where people were all riled up saying, maybe Pelosi shouldn't be over there. Maybe it's going a step too far. Military right now is trying to intimidate the United States. They're doing this in a coordinated attack as they try to align their alliances with Europe, with Macron, as I said yesterday. And they're doing all of this, and our president is kind of absent. He's not taking press conferences. So during the presser today, one of the reporters decided to ask Karine Jean-Pierre what was going on, why they have not been hearing from Joe Biden. And this was her response.
Is the administration trying to protect the president from our questions? Please, answer
absolutely
that question.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So why is the lack of any interaction in a formal setting to have a press conference?
I mean, the president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I understand. I've dealt with this question about 3 times already. I understand. It is the job of you all to ask this question to me. Totally get that. And that's not a problem at all. But certainly the president many times has stood in front of all of you, has taken questions on his own because he wanted to see what was all on your minds. He wanted to see what the questions you all were going to ask him, and he wanted to answer them directly. That has happened multiple times, many times during this administration, and that will certainly continue to be. When it comes to a formal press conference, I don't have anything to share with you at this time.
Are you aware that Joe Biden, President Biden, has held the least amount of formal press conferences in an entire generation of presidents? Look it up. Before you think I'm making up anything, look it up. There's articles about this. This guy does not do formal. He does everything controlled. It's a very, very good question to ask KJP. And she doesn't have an answer. In fact, it gets even more laughable as it goes on. She tries to say, well, he takes shout-out questions during public appearances. That's not a formal. Let's listen to the other question.
Just one last thing.
Yeah, sure.
Just to button up, you recognize that as it relates to prior administrations, the president's predecessor, President Obama, President George W. Bush, I've been here long enough to have covered President Bill Clinton. This is not the norm. The norm is we do get an opportunity to ask the questions to the president about domestic and foreign policy issues in a formal setting at some point. And you choose that point, but we haven't had that opportunity in quite some time.
So I'll say this. It is also unprecedented that a president takes as many shouted questions as this president has. And he has.
You got to love all the members of press right now disagreeing with Corrine, saying, nah, nope, that's not true. Nope. And so what does she come back with? Because she really has nothing she can come back with. She's going to go get data to show that she's correct.
Okay, well, we'll certainly get the data and share that with all of you. I hear, John, yeah. I hear your question. I heard Zeke's question. I hear you. I hear you on the press conference, on a formal press conference. We get this probably every couple of months when you guys ask us about a formal press conference. I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time.
It must be really tough to be KJP and just lie constantly because you don't have anything else. You just got to continue to do the spin. At least Jen Psaki, at least Kaylee, they all had the binder. They were able to talk about what needed to be talked about. Joe Biden, all right, went on to the Today Show yesterday and said that he plans on running again for president. He told Al Roker this, but he's not ready to make a formal announcement yet. Well, he probably can't make a formal announcement because he can't do formal press conferences too. He can't do anything formal because he needs his handlers in order to tell him what he's allowed to do. I'm curious, does he have a potty schedule? It's like, all right, Joe, this is the time. Number two. All right, Joe, number one. Joe, you haven't gone number one again lately. Let's get over there and go number one. Joe, make sure you're eating your bananas. Joe, here's some applesauce. I mean, come on. Does this guy have somebody setting all of his agenda at this point? But if he runs, all right, he is going to be 86 at the end of his second term. If he were to run and win again, he's 80 years old right now. You know who's 80 years old right now in America? A lot of people in nursing homes. That's right. People in nursing homes are 86 when Joe Biden's thinking he's going to wrap up his second term. This is almost laughable. This is the best you got, Democrats? Really? And this is excusable? This is excusable, the fact that you don't do press conferences when China says we're ready for war, we're ready to challenge Taiwan and the United States? Joe Biden doesn't come out. His handlers aren't like, all right, Joe, you had your rice cake today. Now it's time to go out in front of the people and answer some questions. Don't worry, we'll get you all boosted up, making sure that you can answer these questions. I just don't understand the insanity from the Democrats in thinking that this in some way, shape, or form is okay. You know, he should be out there. China yesterday put on their state television a bombing of Taiwan showing how it will go. They showed the fighter jets circling Taiwan. They showed the missiles being readied to portray their act of aggression, to show their military might. It's all theater at this point in time, but they're now saying that they're ready to roll. They did over 200 flights of their Chinese warplanes just in the last 3 days. And where's Joe Biden on any of this? Oh, he's absolutely quiet. The United States, we sent in the Milius, which is a guided missile destroyer, and we did what was called a freedom of navigation operation to make sure that we could go in international waters without China interfering or taking military action. So the ship apparently was within 22 kilometers of the Mischief Reef. This is a section of artificial islands in the South China Sea, close to the Philippines, and China operates out of there. And so the operations basically were to make sure that we could fly, we can sail, we can operate still where international law allows. But it was also, as I said, the very top of the show, a hold my beer. You think that's great, Taiwan? Going in China to Taiwan this way? Watch, we're just going to move right off your coast and see what you do about it. That is playing chicken, if I've ever seen playing chicken. And you know who else is playing chicken? Joe Biden. But I guess we should have expected this. The guy ran an entire presidential campaign from his basement, and now he's doing his presidency from God knows where. I guess he's in Rehoboth in Delaware somewhere. I have no idea. He's riding his bike, trying to stay on, trying not to fall off. This is very troubling. World War III, we're getting to the brink. We're almost there. And Joe Biden refuses to talk to the public. Joe Biden refuses to answer questions. And we have KJP running this covert operation. We got to make sure that Joe Biden can't speak to anybody. He might say something wrong. Meanwhile, isn't it ironic that the Nord Stream pipeline, when we find out that, hey, Joe Biden alluded to this whole thing, there was this plan, there was this story, all of a sudden we start hearing about Chinese spy balloons, we start hearing about UFOs, how quickly people forget. The entire news cycle right now is a joke. It's a joke. It's the reason why I'm trying to tell people, my colleagues and my listeners, if you're still focused on COVID-19 and you're still focused on mRNA, and all these things, please, please, please take just one show a week and do that. The rest of your shows, you got to recalibrate. You got to recalibrate because people are forgetting about the things that really are important right now. They're getting buried. If you look at the banking stories, look how quickly that fell out of the news cycle. I was one of the very few podcasts that were talking about what was going on at these banks, that were talking about Credit Suisse. They're talking about how this is going to lead to the central bank digital currency. Meanwhile, everybody else is still focused on mRNA, vaccines, fighting this. Guys, that was like 2020, 2021. We got real problems in 2023, and it needs the full attention of all my friends, all my colleagues. We got to start telling these stories to people, because if we're not there and people are not informed, it's just me. We're stronger together, everybody. I'm not saying that COVID-19, the vaccines, and everything else doesn't matter. I'm just saying that I need to start hearing more from people. We need to hold one another accountable, and we need to make sure that we are the purveyors of information in order to put America first. I need to hear that from other individuals. So if Joe Biden runs, right, at the age of 80, he's going to be going up against RFK Jr. Are you aware of that as well? Are you aware that also what's been going on? I'll take a break. When I come back, I got to tell you about some stuff that's really kind of puzzling to me about Twitter. As well as the Dalai Lama. There are some very interesting stories going on in the news that most of you may not be paying attention to. So second half, I'm going to kind of gloss over some of those. But what you need to know right now is things in the South China Seas are very tense. The United States, China, war games have launched, and your president is missing in action. We'll be right back after the break, everybody. As always, make sure you go and visit our sponsors right on AmericaOutloud.com. Cofix RX, what a great nasal spray that you can use. Help keep you safe for up to 8 hours. It's a povidone iodine nasal spray that blocks bacteria, such as the viruses, as well as can help towards your sensitivities towards other things. It's a great little mix. You can go to the America Out Loud website, go to Cofix RX, and get a discount just for listening to the show. All right, that's America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. I'll be right back.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on all the fear-mongering, but deep down you try and minimize viral exposure and your risk of getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine nasal solution. I don't need to tell you just how powerful a nasal cleansing formula with xylitol, povidone iodine, and vitamin D3 for immune support could be. In fact, my attorney told me not to tell you. Google it and find out for yourself. Now, get yourself a bottle of American-made Cofix RX Nasal Solution. Let's get out and live again. CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com. Use coupon code OUTLOUD and get 20% off.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, Bold American, second half of the show. Let's get straight started. I told you I'm going to tell you some of the other big stories from yesterday. Well, Representative Jim Jordan says, we now know that the FBI, relying on information derived from at least one undercover employee, sought to use local religious organizations as new avenues for tripwire and source development. Let that settle in for everybody. This is absolutely gigantic news. I was talking about the Catholic Church and people were telling me, oh no, I got this completely wrong, that this, they were going after a certain type of individual in the Catholic Church. And I said, I don't think that I do. And so here we have this letter now to Director Ray, and I'm going to read it for everybody so that way we can get the full extent. Dear Director Ray, the Committee on the Judiciary is conducting oversight of the Federal Bureau of Investigation's handling of domestic violent extremism investigations against Catholic Americans and its effects on protected First Amendment activity. Based on the limited information produced by the FBI to the committee, we now know that the FBI relied on at least one undercover agent to produce its analysis, and that the FBI proposed that its agents engage in outreach to Catholic parishes to develop sources among the clergy and church leadership to inform on Americans practicing their faith. This shocking information reinforces our need for all responsive documents, and the committee is issuing a subpoena to you to compel your full cooperation. Separation of church and state. We pay this bill, correct? We're paying the FBI. It's part of our tax dollars. And yet it's being weaponized against a religious group. You know, yesterday I talked about how Google didn't even acknowledge Easter. Makes you kind of wonder if some things are all kind of tied together. I think that we should pay attention to what's going on here with religion and people's religious freedoms in this country and the weaponization of a tax-dollared funded organization going after Catholic Americans based upon their theological distinctions. I'm curious if Dr. Larry Chapp, who is a very conservative theologian, would be listed in the FBI's list of individuals that they would find that they'd want to have. He's been a guest on my show before. Brilliant theologian. Great guy. I don't think he would do anything wrong to ever harm anyone, but he would definitely fit into one of the groups that the FBI was looking to get more information out of. So I'm going to reach out to him at this point in time and see if I can get him in for an interview to talk a little bit more about this. Now, speaking of kind of religious leaders, the Dalai Lama, I'm not sure if you guys saw this footage on Easter Sunday is when I saw it, but there's this footage of him with a young boy, and he kisses the young boy, and I don't have context to what's being said or anything, but it looked pretty shocking, but that wasn't what made me sick to my stomach. Now, I've read the Dalai Lama's books before. You've heard me talk about them on the show before. I will probably stop doing that on my show because this is just inexcusable. All right, so the video shows a boy, and he asks the Dalai Lama, he goes, "Can I hug you?" And so they respond, "Okay, come up." And so the spiritual leader, Dalai Lama, says to the boy to kiss him on the cheek, and then he points to his lips. He holds the boy's face, they briefly kiss, then they press foreheads together. As they're pulling away, the Dalai Lama says to him, "And suck my tongue," and prompts to slowly inch forward, and the Dalai Lama has his tongue out, and the boy starts making his way towards the tongue to suck on it. And then finally, just as the boy's about to do so, the Dalai Lama pulls away. It's gross. It's not cute. It's not funny. And so they released a statement from the Dalai Lama's Twitter account. It says, "A video clip has been circulating that shows a recent meeting when a young boy asked His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, if he could give him a hug. His Holiness wishes to apologize to the boy and his family, as well as his many friends across the world, for the hurt his words may have caused. His Holiness often teases people he meets in an innocent and playful way, even in public and before cameras. He regrets the incident." That apology sounds a lot like some of the Catholic apologies during abuse. It just, I wish it was more sincere. I wish that it was more like, we understand that this looked absolutely horrible, and it was, that no one should be doing this. It was really poor judgment. Why do we still elevate these individuals? You know, I guess I was guilty of doing so. Elevating this individual as well, since I read the book and I quote him often. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have some good insights, but this is just disgusting. I mean, this is where abuse gets justified, when people start going, "Oh, it was just a joke. Oh, no, what's hidden in the shadows?" That's what scares me even more. And so the Dalai Lama, yeah, I'll try not to talk about him in the future when I'm giving context. Because now I really, that's just sick. And then since he posted that on Twitter, I told you I was going to tell you my thoughts on Twitter. Elon Musk, I don't know what's going on with him and Twitter at this point in time. A mad genius or somebody who is completely in over his head and not so sure what to do. See, Elon put a poll out. And I almost forgot about this. Somebody reminded me of it, that said, "Should I step down immediately? I will respect the vote." And he was voted to step down. And now months and months later, he still has not done so. The blue check mark. He's instituting the $7 fee or $8 fee or $11 fee, whatever. And originally I was going to do the blue check mark. I was going to do it and just say, well, it's a business expense for the show. Helps put the show out there. But I got to be honest. Looking at Twitter and seeing that it just takes somebody else putting my show out there to reach tens of thousands of people, I realized I really don't need the blue check mark. I really don't need to pay for some type of subscription for the service. But now Musk is saying if you're not paying for it, that they were going to take you away from people's For You page view, meaning if you don't have a blue check mark, you won't start appearing in other people's posts. And I noticed that right before he made this announcement, my post started having a much drastically less reach than before. So unless, you know, somebody sees one of my shows and starts sharing it out, I'm really not getting seen by many people whatsoever. This model, I believe, is going to backfire. Why is it going to backfire? Because not only is he fighting about the blue check mark, but Matt Taibbi just recently has said that he's no longer going to post onto Twitter because of Elon Musk's stance on Substack. Now, if you subscribe to my Substack, you know that from time to time, I give exclusive content right there. You just give me an email address, and when it goes out, everybody sees the articles that I write. I don't use it to monetize. I know Matt Taibbi and others do. But during the summer months, when I'm not in the classroom, I write a ton more than during the school year. And I had thought about possibly doing some monetization with it. But Twitter has now labeled that as a malicious link. If you put a Substack link to a story, it's malicious. Why? Because Twitter, I guess, wants to compete against Substack. They saw that Substack was going to do what's called Substack Notes, which was going to bite into, I guess, the share of users of Twitter. I really don't think Elon had much to worry about on that, but he may now, because people are going to start going, you know what? I'm not leaving Substack. I'm not paying this money for this. I'm going where it's free. Musk is hoping that by people paying for it, that it will keep everything secure and will be the spot where people want to be. But right now, Twitter has lost more than $5 billion in revenue since Elon Musk took control. And maybe it could be profitable if it was just more modest, if it didn't go, hey, everybody, you got to have this blue check, you got to do this, you got to do that. I think that's a major gamble that Elon Musk has made right now. Advertising. When it was public, 90% of the revenue came from advertising. But the advertisers are all starting to leave because they're seeing Musk do some pretty crazy things. And they're like, well, I'm not sure we want to advertise there. They haven't all left. But Twitter has definitely taken this turn in a conservative direction. It's no longer, it was in a very liberal direction, but it really just made a 180, the opposite direction. And the truth of the matter is we need balance. And so Twitter isn't really serving too many people. Add that to the fact that Elon Musk put a state-controlled media or state-funded media onto NPR, PBS, and you're starting to now see that people are going, well, gee, government funded NPR. I thought government funded, NPR, I think only gets maybe 6% of their funding from the government. The rest all comes directly from listeners. And they could probably cut out the government funding and still be able to work well. That's just the truth of the matter. And I'm not a big fan at this point of NPR. I used to be, but I'm not a huge fan of them. And I'm a partner with NPR for my personal radio station. So in all honesty, I'm being very open with everybody about that. But I do believe that they lean a little too left for me at this point in time. But that's not a reason to give them a government-funded label. Now, when you get the PBS, yeah, there's more government funding there. But they also get funding from individuals. So this NPR label is very interesting that Musk has put out. And so now we have Substack being blocked. We have these qualifiers being added to the news agencies. Meanwhile, people like myself and the alternative media are being shut out because we're not paying the $7. I got to be honest, I don't have a ton of money coming in. I mean, if you guys want to, I'm starting to give, send, go. I see my colleagues are using them and they're working extremely well for them. So if my shows are offering you some information and you want to help give, send, go, just make a donation, you can. As always, I have my buy my cup of coffee. You can do that. So just go to my website, americaemboldened.com. If you want to support the show, you can do so there. But I think Musk is, he's really trying to say, look, I'm the bastion of free speech. But meanwhile, the speech isn't free. He's really stagnating the potential growth for Twitter. He's turned it completely upside down. And so for that, I think that Twitter is a spot where Could it turn around? Yes. Will it turn around? I'm starting to think it won't, but the good news is this. A lot of social media is starting to die. Like if you look at Facebook, Facebook is definitely really in the can. My age group, the people in their 40s, they're moving away from Facebook at this point in time. A lot of people don't have time for Twitter. So I'm curious, where are people going to replace that? Does that mean people are talking to one another or people have just fed up with the information overload or everybody having an opinion without any type of factual background? That's something that could be very interesting to pay attention to. A couple other stories just to end the show today, because if you don't know, I'm a huge weather junkie. I like watching, see what's going on. And right now, there is a possibility for a April tropical storm in the Gulf of Mexico this week. And so I saw this, and I don't think in my lifetime I've ever seen a tropical system form in the month of April in the Gulf. And so I went to find out what ended up happening, and apparently it is a rare occurrence formed in April. There was one that formed over the Central Atlantic in 2017, but there's never been any that have been documented in the Gulf. This is kind of interesting. I find, you know, weather very intriguing. I've been watching the tornadoes lately that have been going on, looking at the look of them. Something definitely changing with our weather system, whether it's trade winds spinning in a different direction. But I just think people should pay attention to that story as well. The Earth is definitely speaking to us through the weather. And so that's another part. And then I will have a couple stories for you tomorrow to kind of break off what develops since China is doing what they're doing in the Strait. Yeah, that's all I really got for you today. I hope that gave you some food for thought. Maybe we can get Biden to actually do a press conference. Maybe you're not paying attention enough to what's going on in China. Hopefully everything stays safe for all of us. I'll be back tomorrow to report on whether or not things have ramped up. All right, everybody, you've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.